were, so I'll just quickly summarize what we were discussing last time, just because we're going to pick up where we left off. We are analyzing the question of whether or not mitzamtzing, if assuming it's grama of some sort and not a maisa b'yadayim, whether or not it's grama or garmi, which we've noted seems to be a clear machlokes rishonim. So, first of all, we also noted that that happens to be assuming something which almost nearly universally assumed amongst rishonim, namely that there's a difference between grama and garmi, they're not synonyms. The Ravan clearly didn't think that this was the case, he thought they were synonyms, probably Rashi as well. There's just one category of gram, according to them. It's grama, garmi, just two different ways to, two different things you can call it, but they mean the same thing, and they're for the same thing. And they're both either chayav or putter, depending on what you paskin. So the manda dun in the garmi, they're chayav. So anytime the Gemara says grama, upatter, that's not really b'dehilchos, according to them. Most of them don't assume that. Most of them assume that they are two different categories with two different dinim. And then the question becomes, well, what's the distinction? So we saw that one group of Rishonim, really just the Ritzpah and the Mordechai, understand that the distinction between them is purely technical. They're both basically Gorim, and they agree with Rashi in that sense that there's one concept of Groma. They just think that there are two different dinim. What Chazal, what was Shchiach and Matsui, and therefore prevalent and became a problem, so Chazal or M'takin, these cases are going to be Chayev, Benizikin, as a Knas. So that's the difference between them, just what was Matzo and Shchiach, such that Chazal felt the need to be Mutaki. But in terms of fundamentally, in terms of the levels, the kinds of causation, there's no difference between these categories. But Rav Rishonim didn't agree with that. Most Rishonim, whether or not they thought Garmi was Chayv Midaraisa, in which case clearly there's a difference, it must be something very fundamental, not just Matzo or Shchiach. But even if it's Derabanan, perhaps, it isn't just a question of what's Matzui and Shchiach. There's a difference between these categories in terms of the kinds of causation being referred to. Garmi is a more direct causation, one that you're responsible for in the world of Nezikin. Grama is less direct, it's indirect, and therefore you're not responsible for it. So what is the sheer, how do we determine what is the one or the other? So that's what we were going through. And again, what we're going to come back to is where does Mitzamtzing fit in all this? But just so far what we saw was basically the Shita. First, the shita of the re, one of them, the second one, namely that the distinction between grama and garmi has to do with the time factor. What is there a time delay between the maisa that the person does and the result nezek? If the nezek comes simultaneously with the completion of the maisa, right? But also zman ba hezek. So then. So then that's more direct, that's garmi. If there's a delay, so then that's too indirect, and that's grum. That's what grum refers to. That's the Re's second opinion. Then you have I'm just trying to remember how we did it. I think, the first suggestion of the Re is a little bit more ambiguous, which is in the Lashon in the Re and Tosfos in Bava Basra, is who atzma osa hezek, and in terms of what that means, so I think what we discussed was that it seems to be there are two understandings of this, or two different theories one could propose, both of which can be understood in this under this phrase. The first is what I take to be the Rush and the Rashba, which is really captured by the way they put it, osa maisa v'gufa davar, which essentially means when it says maisa here, it means in a very broad sense, in the sense you do some sort of act of will, an exercise of one's will. Directed towards the Maman HaNifsad, that of course results in without which you wouldn't have had Nezek, and with which you do have Nezek. So if you've acted in some sense of having your will act oriented or directed towards the Maman HaNifsad, so then that'll be Garmi. If it's something, if you didn't, if you acted upon something else and just Nezek came, as a result of what you've done, but you didn't act upon the Maman HaNifsad itself, that's just Grama. So, so Sorosh Yarosach Chavero, you act upon the Shar, you also act upon the Maman by burning the Gviya, the way you gain access to the Maman that you would be Govet. In the case of Maradi Nershachani, you say that this thing is Kasher, so you're acting upon the Maman HaNifsad by patering the Chov. Trying to remember the other cases that the Rush actually just cites there. Let's see. Yeah, Matzur is a big one. So he says, Matzur also, Masar also shehira lavod gachavim mamon chaveru bar yizeka kilu nasna luhu v'chulei v'chulei. You pointed out where the mammon was. So that's a maisa. That's what I say is very loose because all you did was say something, but you acted towards the mammon in itself. So that's garmi according to the Rush. Whereas the Grama cases are all cases where you didn't act upon the mammon nifsad. So you know silu kakarim. So you remove the cushioning. So you acted upon the cushioning. Maybe you could say you acted upon the pavement. You didn't act upon the kli, which in the end came falling down and ended up hitting the pavement. Nemia, I assume that the Rush would tell you acted upon the sulam or you acted upon your rishus, but you didn't. Memela, there became damage to the property of the shovach of my neighbor, but I didn't do an act upon the shovach. So for the Rush, the critical point is that you've directed, you have some sort of action which is directed towards the mammon hanifsad, or not. If not, so then that's grama. If yes, then it's garmi. The other alternative version of this sort of hu atzmo osa hezek, which I think you find, is the Ron and the Meiris, which is a little different in that even it's not enough that it would be something that you've oriented towards or directed towards the mammon hanifsad. It has to be that act that you're doing is also, in some sense, contributing to the nezek. In other words, it's the mice. It's what the Miri calls a mice hamafsid, as opposed to doing something which causes nezek to come about. You can act upon the difference between these is, let's say I act upon the chepetz, that is nizok. But that act is just part of setting it up to be nizok by something else. So the Rush, I think, will say, well, that is osa mice b'gufadavar. That is hu atzmo osa hezek. Whereas I think the Meiri and the Ron, the formulation they have leads you to believe that no, they think that wouldn't be sufficient. Even if you're acting upon, you're directing your act towards the mammon hanifsad, but you're just setting it up for something else to be masikit. So the nafkamina, give me one sec. I mentioned last time two nafkaminas. One of them is, I think the easiest, the simplest is, the case of Masur. Right, the Rush thinks that all you need to explain in order to explain why this is garmi is the fact that, after all, I'm pointing out the mammon, so I'm acting upon the mammon. I don't think the Meiri and the Ron could say that. You're simply setting it up. It's true you're acting upon the mammon, but you're setting it up for somebody else to be mazik, namely the anasim. So that can't be the reason why it doesn't constitute osa maisa v'gufadavar according to them. I think what they would say is probably something that the Rabban says, which we'll see soon. Which is that to be mechadesh that the act of nezek, what it inheres in here, is simply exposing it to danger. That being motzi in a sense from a state in which it is shamur to a state which it is not shamur, that itself can constitute a kind of act of nezek, at least on the level of garmi, such that you would be chayiv. So that's what the Ramban suggests in his context. We'll get to why he says it, but I think that's probably something that the Meiri of the Ron will have to say in order to explain why this is considered garmi. After all you're doing is setting up the situation such that the anasim will come and damage it, but they probably couldn't say the Rush. And the other case where this becomes apparent is the case of Shisabo Nachash, which is the Rush himself, and it wasn't the Rush in Bava Kama. The last time I couldn't find it because I only had the one in Bava Basra on that sheet. But the Rush in Bava Kama says, gives you this as an example. One second. Yeah, Avala, because I mentioned this is the Rush, he conjoins, he requires both. In this alternative, when he discusses Osa Maisa B'Gufadavar, he thinks that it's, according to that approach, it's required in addition, there are two necessary conditions. It has to be both Osa Maisa B'Gufadavar and Bar Yizeka. Something you don't find in the read, but the Rush says, Avala, he she's a Boa Kelev, Vanachash, so why is it that you're put in that case? Because lo bar yezeka kemamasur deshema lo yishach hakelav anachash, and then he gives the other case. The case is, so that's one example. You know, he thinks that's a case of ozemaisa, but not bar yezeka. Then he says bar yezeka, not ozemaisa. That's a case of misalik akarim veksus. Avagad the bar yezeka lo asemaisa begufa mamon. So the but the Meiri actually says quite explicitly. He thinks he uses this idea of hu atzmosa hezek, or you know, in his formulation. Requiring a maisa hamafsid as opposed to a maisa which sets up something else, haba besivus hamaisa, to be mazik. or mazmin anezek in the formulation of the run, he says that this is an example of that. The reason that it's not garmi is because it isn't huatma osa hezek, the nachash is doing the hezek, you're simply setting up the nachash to do the hezek. So that makes a lot of sense. In other words, both the Rush and the Meiri will say that this is acting. You're acting upon the victim in this case by provoking by bringing the nachash towards him. But and for the Rush that's sufficient because that's and he takes this to mean so much of a devar that you've acted upon it as opposed to just other things that in the end that in the end somehow cause the damage. Whereas for the Meiri, that wouldn't be sufficient, even though you've acted upon the thing. You're acting upon the maman anifsad or the maman or the gufa nizok, in as much as acting upon the gufa nizok here, the act was just a part of setting it up for something else. So that's not considered to be osa huatz osa hezek. It wouldn't be. You might say it's an osa maisa gufa davar, but it's not. Osa maisa hamafsid the gufa davar. Okay, follow everybody. Right? So there are really two different, I think, strands, two different understandings of what that criterion could be. And the reason I'm spending a lot of time on that, besides being just important in its own right, is because when we get to Mitzamtzim, you'll see that I think it makes a big difference in terms of assessing where Mitzamtzim stands with respect to all this. Okay, so that's where we were up to last time, I believe. Yes, you had a question? Did I get to the question, or you just... Okay, fine. All right, so the final, I went to the final. The next opinion is the opinion which really is the Ramban, and also the Ran here, the Shita of the Ran, the Sanhedrin, and probably, although there's some issues, there's some problems with saying this or assuming this, maybe you're being David here as well, that the defining feature of Garmi, as opposed to Grama, is the feature of, is the fact of Bar Yezeka. We encountered it a little bit in the Rush, but the Ramban thinks that this is the necessary and sufficient condition, although that sufficient part I'll have to just adjust in a minute, but this is the necessary and sufficient condition for something for a case of ground to be garmi as opposed to grama. So you take a look at Ramban in the source sheet. So the Ramban in source number... you guys have it? Yeah, the last one, 9. So... is where he gets to the question now of what's the distinction between Garmi and Grama. He says, what's the difference between all these cases of Garmi and all these other cases of Garmi and Ezekin, which we find that are ptur? So he quotes literally everyone, right? That's because like 15 Gemaras here. And then he says at the end, I'll tell you what the difference is. V'zeh tamachol elu. Cha gadol ye b'yadcha. And the Ramban says that you really gotta pay attention, right? Cha gadol ye b'yadcha. Kol agorim u'machmas giram to ba hezek she'i efshar ela ba'osa hen hezek ve'inu tole b'das achirim. I'm not sure if Eino Talei B'das Acherim here is only if it were otherwise, then you couldn't say Yesh Rabo Elabo Oso Hezek. I think that's probably what it means. In other words, it's not a separate point. He's just saying that part of what it means when you say Yesh Rabo Oso Hezek means it isn't Talei on anybody else or anything else. It's going to happen automatically. Ela B'sha Shagaram Ba Hezek O Shu Asilavo Kigonze Chayav Rabbi Meir B'Nikra B'Gemara Bar Hezeka. So this is the formulation Bar Yezeka gets it for the Gemara in Bava Kamma regarding Moser Zabeira, Lefichach Danas Adin, v'chule v'chule. Okay, so the idea is that if what you've done guarantees, makes it certain, there's no other way it can happen, this could be understood sort of epistemically or sort of ontologically, if you will, whether or not, is he saying it's necessarily going to happen or just that we're certain it's going to happen? There could be differences, but either way, let's just ignore that for now. Not only we're certain, but EF shall, right? It's not just that we know, it's that it can't be. It's not important. The point is, it is necessarily going to happen that once you do what you've done, there will be Nezek coming about, right? That is the. If that's what happens, right, that you've done something and as a result, necessary result of what you've done is that there will be this Nezek, that's Garmi. When the Gemara says Grama, it's because it isn't necessarily going to happen. It could happen, it could not happen. So that's, in a sense, the simplest distinction. And that's what the Ramban thinks is the major difference. So for instance, sorry for Shtar, you've now lost your access to the Gevira. Danas Adin, same. Now you're Chayav. Whereas in the cases of Grama, so I move the Sulam close to the Shovach. Maybe the Nachash will go, maybe it won't. Or what are the other cases? Let's say, Sholech Zabeir Abiyacher Shuv HaKatan. Maybe the Katan will just put it down in a place which won't be a problem. Right, so all these cases involve an element of Suffolk, and that's what Grama is. Grama is where there's an element of Suffolk in it, so then it's only Grama Ba'alma. If it's guaranteed to happen now, you've done something which guarantees it will be Nezek. Then that's Bar Yizeka, that's what makes it Garmi, yeah.
It's already Kli, how is there a Suffolk there? Because it seems like it's going to fall down.
Oh. Yeah. So who are you saying? You're saying Mitzad the what? The Besalik?
Mitzad, it's going to be Bevadai. I mean,
who?
Bar Yizeka.
Who do you want to be Mechaya, though, in the case of Zohar Kli?
The person who moved the pillow.
Oh. So, you go by David, right? Not David.
David.
Yeah. Sorry. Right, so what's Gershom Dovid?
I'm confused. I don't know what my name is.
Okay, fine. All right. Whatever you tell me, I'm calling. All right. So exactly. So that is the major nafkamina between the Ramban, the bronze criterion, all the other ones that we've seen, is precisely the case of Misalik Akarim Veksus. What David is saying is, well, according to this, why wouldn't you be Mechayev? I'm sorry, David. David. What David is saying, according to this, is why wouldn't you be Mechayev Misalik? So that, the Ramban says, the answer is, in Echinami, you are Mechayev. What about all the, these other Rishonim are not pulling this out of thin air, that you're Pater. So, where do they get that from? Because the Gemara in Chavav, in Bava Kamma, when it talks about this case, says you're Pater. Right? That the case of Zorik gets a Kli, the Sea Lake, is Pater. But I guess we won't say, I'll just tell you. Both the Rif and the Rambam are Mechayev the Misalik in this case. Midin Garmi. How can you do that? Well, they say very simply. We have to know that Rabbah from other contexts is not Mechayev Midin the Garmi. Now it's Rabbah, according to the Sumer Gersos of the Gemara Bava Kamma, it's Rabbah who patters in the case of Zorik Kli v'Rosh Agag, v'Hamisalik is, both of them are Pater, that's Rabbah. So the Balik also say, Tzalav Davka, first of all, actually, the Bala Tosos, I think, say, this is one of the cases where actually Tosos quote the Rif. It doesn't happen too often, but...
Rabba is Poter, Rabba is Mechayev.
It's Poter. So the Gemara says, this is the Gemara in Bava Kamma, Daf Chav Vav Amabez. I'm a Rabba. Zorak Limer Shagag, Vahayu Tachtav, Karim Oksus, Bachar Besilkan, Okidim Silkan, Poter. My time up, Be'idna Deshadi, Psuk. Okay, so that's talking about the tour of the Zorak, but also both of them are Poter. That's what it sounds like, right? So the Tosas there point out, Pirish Revalfus, the Rabba Latame, the Lesa Dina de Garmi, Beresha Gozal Kama. Lari Nira, the Hagarmi Dizakinu, Upata Lakuliyama. So the Tosas just points out, no, we think this is Lakuliyama, it's not a question of Garmi or not. But the Rif and the Ramam, they both are Machayev the Misalik. In this case, the Ramam is also Machayev the Zorik, so it's a separate topic we're going to get to separately. And the Ramban is working with the Rif and the Ramban, the Rif and the Ramam. Particularly Rif, that this Rabba here, who's Poter in that case, is actually only Poter because he doesn't hold with Garmi, but this is in fact Garmi. So the Tosas doesn't explain what. Well, Rav Apa says this is Garmi, so that if you hold even the Garmi, you can't be, you'll be Mechayev here. No, we actually think this is not Garmi, it's Grama. Why? So this is the answer, because the Ramban is providing the answer. The Rif doesn't say what his criterion for Garmi is, he just says this is Garmi, we don't know why. But the Ramban explains Garmi is anytime you do this thing. Anytime after what you've done, you guarantee that there will be Nezek. If you have that, then you're going to be Chayav, that's Garmi. That's been Garmi in a method which is the more direct method, Garmi. So that you are Chayav for the case of Siluk Akar and Vexus. Okay, that's the major nafkamina between these, all these other Rishonim that we've seen, the Rush, they also observe a Pasha that you have to account for Siluk Akar and Vexus, and not only that, it's one of the major, it's one of the major cases. This is the Eino Osa Maisa Begubadavar. This is the case where you can see it because it's not simultaneous. The Ramban thinks that, no, in this case you are Chayav. Okay, so now one thing I should note, and this is why I say that you might have to just sort of adjust a little bit the formulation that this is a sufficient condition for the Ramban, is that the Ramban also nonetheless discusses a number of cases where, at least according to him, he thinks that these are Bari Hezeka, but you're still going to be Pater. Why? So he has a number of different cases where he thinks this is true. And his explanation for them, one of them, for instance, is Shisa Bosa Nachash. So he says, he quotes in the, I don't have, I didn't bring the Dinagarmi, I wish I did. He says that, you know, she's supposed to Nachash, the reason for the tour is not Bar Yezeka. That is not Bar Yezeka. He doesn't quote the Rashi, he doesn't quote the Rashi, obviously, but he says, you know, some people have said that the reason that you're putter in the case of Shisa Bo is a Nachash is because, well, this Nachash may be good Nachash, maybe nice Nachash, or maybe he's not going to be hungry or whatever. So that's why you're going to be putter, because it's not Bar Yezeka. He says, that's not true. I mean, that is the rush. That's not the reason. Even if this Ein Derech Lintos Yaminu Small, the Nachash only does one thing. We know for certain if you put the Nachash there, he's going to bite him. Nonetheless, you're going to be putter. Why? Because Lav Ihu Osa Hezek, Ela HaNachash Osa Hezek. I don't, that's not a direct quote, but that's what he says, in essence. So, in other words, the way I understand this, it's not so critical if you think about it like this. I think about it as there is really only one criterion in terms of what distinguishes Garmi and Grumma. The only question is really, what Garmi means is that you can be Mechayev the Goreim if he was Mazik Aydeg Garmi. Question is, sorry, you can be Mechayev somebody as a Mazik even if all he did was Garmi. But there's another point, which is he the agent who is Mazik? So what the Ramban is essentially saying is, if somebody else was the Mazik, if there wasn't somebody else who did a Maisa Nezek, something or someone else who did a Maisa Nezek, so that is the, if we have to attribute the Nezek to something or someone, that's who we're attributing it to. It's them who did it. So the fact that, had you not done what you did, it wouldn't have come about. And even if, once you've done it, it's guaranteeing, but the point is still, Lav Ihu, you're not the person that we're going to be, you know, you're not the address of the Nezek here, the person who did the Maisa Nezek is. In other words, it sort of obviates the assignment of a significance to Gormim if there is somebody else who has a simply did the Maisa Nezek. That's how I understand it. So you can put it as an additional condition. It's Bar Yezeka, and also you're the one, there was no one else was Maisa. Now I just want to point out, it almost sounds a little bit like the Ram. And the Meiri's Osa Maisa Huatma Osa Hezek. The difference, I think, is that the Meiri and the Ran would never. For them, the issue is not if there's somebody else. If there's somebody else who was performed a Maisa Hezek, it's that what you've done is not a Maisa Mafsid. For the Ramban, even if what you've done isn't a Maisa Mafsid, if there's no other Maisa Hezek, nobody else did a Maisa Hezek, or nothing else did a Maisa Hezek, there's no other agent of the Nezek, that's still going to be Garmi. The Nakamina being Siluk HaKarim V'Aksus. Right? The Ran, the Meiri is explaining why he thinks Siluk HaKarim V'Aksus is not Garmi. It's Grama Ba'alma, because you haven't, because what did I do there? I didn't do a Maisa Hamafsid. I simply uncovered the pavement. But I didn't do a Maisa Hamafsid. The Hefsid occurs sort of in Mela. But there are Ban is Mechayiv there, because there's nobody else there that does a Maisa Nezek. There's no other agent we attribute that to. So it's a little different in that sense. That's how I just pointed out. But you can get confused because the Ramban says it's a kagada biyatcha bar yezeka. That's the whole game. And then he goes on and explains a number of different cases where he thinks that you're putter b'garma b'alma, or if you're chayav, he has to explain why it is that this isn't So he says, for instance, musr. Why is musr not? This is where he develops his idea. Why is musr a problem? Why is that chayav mishum garmi after all? You have an agent of who did the Maisa Nezek, the Anasim. So his answer is, this is where he develops the idea, that because the Maisa Nezek here consists of simply exposing it to danger. Now what he says for explain for him is also going to answer, I think, for the Ran and the Meiri. That's why I said they can use that, and they probably would, to explain why it isn't Osa Maisa Huatma Osa Hezek. But the point is, we are discussing two different issues. For the Ramban, the issue is, there can't be any somebody else who was who has done something the Maisa Hezek. If there's a direct Maisa Hezek here, so that obviates any pursuit of identifying a Gorim or significance to the Gorim to Gormim of whatever stripe, Garmi, Grum, or whatever, it's all relevant that there's a Maisa Nezek attributed to an agent, that's attributable to an agent. For the Ran and the Meiri, that isn't the issue. The issue is whether or not the Maisa which the Gorim did is a Maisa Hamafsid or not. Now, cases where, right, does everybody follow that? Okay. So those are the first three shittos. And then you have basically just, again, talking about the major shittos here. Then you basically have combinations. We saw the Rush. The Rush, in his first opinion, thinks that there are two factors that are necessary, both Bar Yezeka and Osa Maisa B'Gufa Davar. And then I think you have Rabbeinu Yerucham, which I didn't bring in the course. I think Rabbeinu Yerucham seems to think, and I think it's possible the Rambam held this way also, we'll eventually get to that, that actually either or is good enough. If it's either Bar Yizeka or if it's also Ma'aseh B'Gufa Davar, each one of them is sufficient to be considered Garmi. Okay, so that's what we have in terms of just what the distinction is. Now we come to the question of Mitzamtim. Right? So what is the status of Mitzamtim? Assuming, again, it's Gram, we're not dealing with the question now, which is the next question we'll get to, which is whether or not it's a Ma'aseh B'Dayim or Gram, but let's say, assuming it's not a Ma'aseh B'Dayim, is it Grama or is it Garmi? So now we want to analyze, now we have the ability to analyze this question. So first, just to start with the simplest point, which is, if you hold that it's Bar Yizeka, and we have to now analyze according to each of these shitas, obviously. Now, if you hold it's Bar Yizeka, so then what? What do you guys think? If the difference between Grama and Garmi is the case of Gorim where it was Bar Yizeka, that's going to be Garmi. So what do you think about this case? It sounds the same.
Garmi.
Garmi. Right? It seems pretty pushy. That seems to be the clearest. So that's exactly what the Ron's point was. The Ron here, the other Makoros, as far as I know, the Ron and the Ramban are really the two that mentioned our Ron here. Not the Ron in general, but the Ron, the specific Sanhedrin, the Shita of the Ron, are the ones that really formulate this Bar Yizeka point as sole conditions, as opposed to the Rush, who thinks that it's in that first approach, one of two that are necessary. So the Ron, this is the Ron from the first Makaros, because when the Ron discusses that it's Garmi, he also throws in there why it's Garmi. Right? The Ron in source number 6 in the first set of sheet, does everybody have that? I'll just read it. He says, where? Nira evadai. Demand the poter, meaning Ravacha, mitzamtzim leslei bedinim mamenos dinim de garmi. Why? Well, I'll explain. Hilchach l'dion de kaima de magvinar de danina dinim de garmi afilu b'kshur l'tzami pshita de chayev. Why? Da mitzamtzim lo grama b'nizakim b'lechudu de pater dinim de garmi de bar yezeka. That's exactly right. That if you hold it, what makes something garmi? Well, if it's bar yizeka, it's garmi. So then mitzamtzim clearly is going to be garmi. And the Ramban and the Kuntres is the same thing. He's one of the shittos that holds that clearly garmi, that the Rif doesn't mention it. He says the same thing as well and more, right? The Rif is mashmin simply because he doesn't need to say it. He's already told you in other places that he's more mechayev din of the garmi. So clearly you're going to be chayev here. Why? Because it's bar yizeka. Right? So that's pretty simple as far as that goes. Right? You can't hold that the defining feature of Garmi is Bar Yizeka and hold them the same as Grama Baal. Okay. Beyond that, it becomes more complicated and not as obvious. So let's just start with the Zman Shita, right? The Shita, the second opinion of the Ri, the second opinion of the Rush. What about if the criterion for Garmi, what makes something Garmi, is that it's Miyad Ba Oso Hezek? So here I think it's not obvious, and I think it can go. You can actually go in either direction, depending on two issues. First of all, the parameters of the Maisa in the context of Mitzamtzim. What precisely are defining as the Maisa of the person who is tying down somebody? And second, what are precisely the parameters of what's required in terms of this factor of haskalas that the, I'm sorry, in terms of the factor of the zman, that miyad b'shasa maisa ba'hezek. And we'll explain. You might argue, and we'll see the Rush clearly does, that it does meet this criterion, that the case of mitzamtzim is a case where the miyad b'shasa maisa ba'hezek. I think based on one of two arguments, you can give one of two different explanations of why or how this meets that standard. The first, one second. Yeah, the first is to argue that the Maisa of Mitzamtzim it continues. The actual act itself continues so long as one is still restricted. The victim is restricted. So in the case of Kvisha Lamayim, that's pretty easy to say, right? In other words, I'm holding him down. So pretty clearly there you'll say, well, that clearly is it. The mice is going on until the guy ends up dying. If he can get up by the time I remove my hand, so then fine. That a different question. But if we're assuming that Eino Yochel Lalos and I kept them in there, so the Maisa that I've you know contributed here is continuing ad you know until he dies. So then clearly the case of Kvisha, it's not so difficult to say that it continues until he's no longer restricted, and in the event that he dies from being in the water, it continued until he died. So that miyad b'shasa maisa b'hezek. In the case of Kfita, it's not as obvious, right? In the case where I tie him down, let's say there's a fence in the desert, right, in the hot burning sun, right? Nobody can live in this, you know, very long in this exposed to this sort of heat. And I come and I take him and I bind him to the thing, and then an hour later he's dead. So I think you might argue that here too, though, I think you can raise a question. What's the terminus quo? What is the end point of my maisa here? You might say that it's the end of the physical activity of tying. Once I've done that final knot, I walk away. Now I'm no longer defined as doing anything, right? Now anything else that happens after that would be something that I've caused, perhaps. But you're not actually defined now as being involved in the level of engaging in any sort of act. Or you might say, no, that my maisa is considered to be continuous so long as the victim remains bound. Essentially, we view this as you're using certain tools instead of clamping down with your hands. So you use tools as just instruments for you to clamp down on him. What are those instruments? Steel ties or zip ties or whatever. So those are just your tools. Those are your instruments. They happen not to require your physical presence, but the point is it's still viewed, I think, as a possible. I think it's still to say that's just a method of your continuing to tie him down. Or even if you don't say it that way, maybe you'll say it's something like kochacha. It's some sort of, we'll get to kocho. I think that's possible as well. Yeah.
Well, that ends like I'm saying, is there any parallels in that and the shittos in Shabbos with regards to tzad?
Maybe. We'll come back to that. Maybe. Yeah. It's a little bit of a trickier question than that, because tzad, you're chayav for just the tzad part. You don't need to say that the maisa continues on later. So this part, you wouldn't really get a good, that wouldn't be necessarily a good test case, because once I've trapped the thing, clearly I'm chayav mishum tzad, because the act is trapping. But here, the question is whether or not the continued, it doesn't, even if you say, well, you know what, it's continuing to be trapped afterwards, that actually isn't your continued maisa. You wouldn't know from Shabbos, because it's not necessarily going to be a relevant question. Because once you've already trapped that initial stage, but tzad, it involves other issues too. It could, well, we'll come back to tzad later, yeah. But now if you say this second option, that we view this as, you know, as you're remaining bound, so long as you remain bound, that's still considered to be my acting upon you, and it's just a method of my doing it. Instead of holding it down, so I use a tool, right? Just like, if I use a fork to eat, it's not a maisa b'yadayim, it's just the tool that I'm using. So if I use ties to hold you down, it's my method of holding you down. So if that's the case, then it's pretty obvious. Then you'll say, okay, so this matches that standard, right? Because once I'm still engaged in the maisa, and the hezek happens while I'm still engaged in the maisa. So I think that is one way to argue that this meets that standard. Alternatively, you might say, no, the maisa ends when he finishes tying it. Once you're done with the tying, so then already you can't say that you're still engaged in the maisa. However, in terms of what we require with inyan, this standard of miyad b'shasa maisa b'hezek, at least in the context of misa, it doesn't require that the death will occur, as long as it starts, the process starts, the hezek starts, which eventually culminates in death. That's all you need. As long as there's a haschalas hadavar, haschalas hezek b'shasa maisa, that's sufficient. Now the rush here, if you saw, when he says the rush here, when he argues that it's garmi, he says l'chol ha'tamim that we discussed in previous in other places in Bava Basra. This actually constitutes garmi. So at the last one he discusses is the zman one, and he'll tell me. I mean, he clearly thinks it is, and it's pretty clear which of these two he's arguing.
What does that mean, the
tchila hezek misa? We'll actually get to that, because it's going to be involved in the next topic, which is sofkam levo. But let's say he's starting to...
Meaning the process... The fade, or?
Yeah, I would say that the nezek, which eventually culminates, is at the start.
So nothing actually happens now?
No.
Retroactively?
No, you would probably require something to happen now.
like his like he gets like scratches on his arm.
Yeah, I mean, getting down to the details might be a little difficult, but the principle is that he has to have some. It has to be Nezek starting now, which eventually in the end results in his death. Not that there's no. Well, let's see what the rush at. It happens to be that I don't want to get part of the question of whether or not. You know, we'll see that when we get to Maisavidayim versus Gram is much less clear. Rishonim are much less interested, or they don't take it up as much explicitly, what exactly the distinction is between, let's say, Gram of any sort, even Garmi versus Maisavidayim. But I think it's possible, in the end, I think it's possible that you actually have some of the things, you can at least raise a question, whether or not, whatever Maisavidayim is, once you have that, you actually don't even require what you would require for something to be Garmi. So, one of the things is Zman. Because the din is, at least in certain cases, where if I were to, let's say, if I were to be Makiyu, if you died a year later, as long as there was no point at which we thought you'd be recovered, you're still going to be Chayiv for Misa. Does that meet this criterion of Zman or not? Well, that'll depend on this question. If you say, I don't think that's a Raya that the Haskalah Sadavar is sufficient, because you might say, once you have whatever Maisa B'Daim is, whatever it is, you don't need any of the rest of it, that's just a Maisa B'Daim now, and therefore it wouldn't be a Raya one way or the other for the Zman point. But that would be another example where there you're probably not Holich, but, well, let's see what the Rashi, what does the Rashi say? He says, and this is in Perek Chi, and this is in Sanhedrin, he says, Elanirli the Huchzla Karavina, this is explaining that we don't pass on Karvacha, because after all, we hold Garmi, and he thinks that this is clearly Garmi. The Mechayeg Mishum Dedami Ladina de Garmi, the little Garmi Nezikin. Lefi Atamim Shapirei Shasan, the Perek Lo Yachvor. The Chilku, Vein Dina de Garmi, the Garmi Nezikin. Why? Well, we're going to skip to the last point, because that's the one we're discussing now. He says, Bar Yezek, Kibad the Tamas, which we discussed. Then he says, Vahezik Maschil Miyab Holik Bechazek. Clearly, the Rush is saying what? Not that you're considered to be engaged in a Maisa until so long as he's still restricted. Apparently not. Your Maisa ends at the time of when you're actually physically no longer involved. But apparently, the Rush is saying, and you wouldn't necessarily know this if you just saw the Rush in other places. This is something that he's adding here, or he's making clear here, that apparently you actually don't need, in the context where we're discussing damaging, death. Where the death has to do with damaging, I'm sorry, where the damage is related to death, that the death need not occur immediately. It need not occur b'shas ha-maisa, as long as the thing starts to occur in some way. Again, how we measure that is a separate question. But as long as there is a haschalas ha-davar, then that is sufficient to meet this criterion. So the Rush is adding that. On the other hand, I think it is possible to argue that it doesn't meet this criterion. If we assume two things. First of all, that the Maisa of the Mitzamtzim, and this the Rush is in agreement with, right? That the Maisa of the Mitzamtzim, of the person who's being Mitzamtzim here, ends with the physical involvement, right? Once I'm no longer physically grasping the binds, so that I'm not considered to be engaged in a Maisa anymore, and that when we say that the Nezek has to be B'Shasa Maisa, if the Nezek we're talking about is the fact that the animal's dead, it has to be that the animal's, you know, the Gemara is like the death is occurring b'shas ha-maisa. If you require both of those, if you say both of these things, then you'll say, well, on this criterion of Garmi, namely this Zman criterion, Mitzamtzim doesn't pass muster, and therefore it's Garmi ba'alma. So if you see the Ra'ah and the people who actually assume this, I mean, the Tosfos seem to think it's Garmi also, because they hold, it seemed to Paskin this way, that it, like Ravacha, your Pater B'nezikin, even though done in the Garmi, they don't explain anything about why this would be, why this might be. This could be what they might hold. When you look at the Ra'ah, who does explain a little bit, it doesn't sound like this is the Ra'ah. I'm not sure, but the Ra'ah doesn't so much sound like he's focusing on the fact that at the time, nothing had happened yet. I think he's focusing on other people still a bit. But either way, Misvara, one account of how you understand that this is only Garma Bama is if you say, well, in order to be Garmi, you need to have it be Miyad B'Shas HaMaisa. Here, the death actually only occurs later. Right? My Maisa HaMitzamtzim is done B'Shas Akvita, once I'm done tying down, and he's allowed Dafka dead at that point. So therefore, even if the damage has started. Okay? So that's in terms of the criterion of Zman. Okay, now we get to the really tough one. What about the Osa Maisa, the Gufa Davar? So here we have to consider both versions, right? Both the Rush and the Ron's version, and, I'm sorry, the Rush and the Rash's version, and the Ron and Meiri. So Here, I think there's a difference. So starting, let's start with the Rosh's version, right? The issue is osa maisa legupa maslan, right? I do some sort of act. I exercise my will upon, in a way that's directed towards the mammon or the chevetz anizok. So here, I think it's very compelling to assume that mitzvah qualifies because I'm acting upon the thing, and that's exactly what the Rosh says here, right? The Rosh, I don't know, I change. So I'm going to go back to the Rosh. I don't want to draw. But the Rosh, when he says the chavichol tamim, so he says ki hu atzma osa hezek l'mamun chaveir shehu mitzamtzein behemto. And what he means by that is you've done an act upon the behema. So clearly that satisfies this criterion. Now I think it's possible to connect this Rosh in terms of the basis of the chiyuv mitzamtzein, that it's garmi, and the reason it's garmi is because in this approach because it involves an osa maaseh v'gufo whatever. With the shita of the tour in Simon Shin Pei Gimel regarding the parameters of mitzamtzein, so you actually have it in the first sheet of the makaros that I gave out. I didn't call attention to it there, but I figure once you have it there, I don't have to print it out again. But it's there in source number 8, right? Ha'isa behemis chaver b'mayim kavashala shlotala umesa b'mayim osh ha'isa behemah. You guys have it. Source number 8 in the first makaros oshatala. Where was I? I just lost. Right, so let's say if the behemoth goes into the water and you close the hatch, so that now it can't get out. So the tour thinks in that case you're going to be putter. So one can connect these two things. You can explain very simply. The basis of the chiyuv mitzamtzeim is that it's garmi. The reason that it qualifies as garmi is because the defining feature of garmi is osa maaseh b'gufa davar. And simply closing the door is not an osa maaseh b'gufa davar. Therefore, you need to have what do you need? You need yochzena b'yada. Right? I think that's compelling. I would note though that first of all, it's pretty clear. The connection, well, I should say first of all, the connection is not mochach really in either direction. First of all, it's clear that the tour's position regarding the parameters of mitzamtzein is compatible with any number, with a number of other accounts of the basis for the chiyuv mitzamtzein minizikin. He could hold, for instance, that the basis for the chiyuv mitzamtzein minizikin is that it's a ma'aseh rikah b'yadayim. I think this probably is a sheet of the tour, as we've noted. And it's also sensible, we haven't gotten to what the precise parameters of osa ma'aseh b'yadayim are, but it makes sense that it would include in something like this asiyas ma'aseh b'gufa davar at the very least. So that this is also could be a reason why you wouldn't consider it to be a ma'aseh rikah b'yadayim. It's also possible that it would be based on the chiyuv midin garmi, right? But not because, I don't recall if the Torah is clear about this, not because you think that, but garmi itself is the defining feature of garmi is that the hezek is nasa miyad. Then you might also say this tour, and you could explain that you require yochzena achemeso because otherwise the nezek isn't ba miyad and mamaisa. Right? In other words, when the guy closes the door on the animal, so that's the end of his maisa. That's the end of his involvement. The animal's lavdavka dead at that point. Maybe it's even that the animal's lavdavka beginning to die at that point. That part I'm not sure about. But the point is, you might require you could come from even coming from garmi, you might say this requirement of the tour makes a lot of sense because otherwise you don't have the miyad b'shas ma'aseh ba'hezek. Just closing the door itself is not sufficient. And the other way as well, I think you could accept this rush. A that it's chayav mishum garmi. B the criterion for garmi is osa ma'aseh b'gufa davar. And say you still don't need. I don't agree with the tour that you don't that even skiras adelas is considered to be garmi. Why? Because if you recall, I think we noted that the Rush's version of asiyas ma'aseh b'gufa davar doesn't necessarily mean physically handling the guf. Just some sort of act, some sort of exercise or expression of one's will directed in some sort sense towards the mamon hanifsad, that itself is qualifies as asiyas ma'aseh b'gufa davar. Remember, the Rush thinks that masur, simply being mara the mamon to the anasim, that constitutes an act directed upon the object, as opposed to sila kakarim, where you're directing it upon a pillow or the pavement. Right? So the Rush doesn't necessarily require physical handling. And you might argue that locking the door on the animal qualifies as an act upon the animal. Why would I say that? Not just because you might think that sort of makes sense, but because, and here I'm going to sort of mention something. Do I even have it? Yeah. What is it? The Mishnah on Shabbos. What could the act be considered here? What would this be an act of? Maybe.
Tzad.
That's a Mishnah on Shabbos. Right? The Mishnah on Shabbos speaks of a case where you find a deer in the house. So I didn't bring the deer there, it's just in the house. So the Mishnah says, if you know all the delos, you're chay of Mishum Tzad. Now the reason this isn't an ironclad raya for a couple of reasons. One of them could be because tzad is a big issue in tzad, whether or not we consider tzad to be a kind of a zore in the Russia sense of, you know, the malachto is aide gram. So that the fact that it would be chayav mishum tzad wouldn't necessarily mean that it's considered to be a maisa upon the animal. But I think setting that aside, it's a pretty good illustration of the idea that locking the door on the animal might be considered an acting upon the animal. That's trapping the animal. Right, that's the Mishnah in Kuf Vav and Beis. It's exactly this case. Svi shenichnas lebayis v'nal echad b'fanav chayev. Some Achronim actually use this case. Some Achronim think that the Rashba implies this is only a kind of a gram and Kamash Malan, that there's some element of gram that could be chayev inside. Because this case otherwise is just, it's classically considered to be grama. I'm not sure why they think it's grama, but you might not make the argument because it was Maisa Guva Dever. But assuming that isn't true, that it's grama, you can say very simply, this is an act of tzad upon the animal. I'm not touching the animal, fine, but that doesn't. The act of tzad doesn't require that. So if the act of tzad also, in the end, is one because it's you're trapping it in a place which it can't live, which kills it, so you've acted upon. Now, it might be that it wouldn't be, because it's not providing, in some sense, the koach hamazik, the act itself, you might say, well, we're getting to, it might not be masur, you could be dying, but at the very least, there is a maisa begufa dever here, in the same sense, there is a maisa begufa dever for the masur. You're acting upon the animal, you're trapping it. So I think the rush could, I don't recall that the rush is clear one way or the other in this point, but I don't think there's any necessity that you agree with the tour here. It could make a lot of sense to say, well, if you hold the Maisa B'Guf HaDavar, that's why you need Yachzenu, Biyad. Because otherwise, it's not a Maisa B'Guf HaDavar. I don't think it follows. I think it's quite possible to say, no, even just simply trapping the animal is a Maisa B'Guf HaDavar. Now, just in terms of the rush, so I think it is possible, we'll come back to this, that you don't, maybe even if you go with the rush's criterion, you can say it isn't Garmi. In other words, it isn't... the case of Osem Maisa B'Guf HaDavar, we'll come back to that. Because I think it's not obvious. It's not really all that compelling. I think it makes a lot of sense to assume. If I'm going with the Rush's understanding of Osem Maisa B'Guf HaDavar, then Mitzamtzem really does qualify, like he says. What about the Ron and Meiri's version of this? Are you doing a Maisa Hamafsid or a Davar Acher Mazik, which is Ba B'Siba Samaisa, or you're Gorim L'Davar She Hanezik Ba Yado? So here, I think it's much, much less obvious. And I think actually the simplest thing to say, my natural assumption would be that here, Mitzvah does not meet the standard of Hu Atzma Osa Hezek. Why? Because what's being mazik here? Me? No. The sun. The exposure to the sun is what's mazik here. My act is precisely being Gari Madavar Sha'idon Izok. What was the Davar? The exposure to the sun. So I cause you to continue to receive, to be exposed to the sun's heat. But that is not a maisa hamafsid, that is a maisa which is setting up something else to be mafsid. So here I think it's precisely what the Ra'ah is going with. Well, first let's just say Rashi. Rashi, although he says grama here, but it's always hard to take Rashi to view him as taking a position about grama versus grama because he likely just thought these were synonyms. But at the very least, he does say formulation which sounds like this. He says, Ravach is poder, because he thinks it's grama ba'ama. Again, we don't know whether or not it could very well be that, you know, he thinks it's garmi, but it's still, I mean, there's no difference for him. But either way, even just the formulation, Ravacha poter de garmi ba'amu, why? This is in Daf Ayin Zayin Amud Aleph. You guys have the Gemaras or no? So Rashi just says, it's better if somebody else reads it. Or I'll read it. But then you'll think I'm making it up.
What?
The Sham
Shakali. Yeah. The Sham Right, so that again, I don't know that Rashi's saying this. If I'm taking the idea that you're actually doing the Maisa Hamafsid as opposed to simply setting up something else, so then this is a very good formulation for why you would say this is Grama Baalma. And I think this is probably very likely what the Ra'ah had in mind as well. As the Ra'ah really did go with a sort of a Ran Meiri version of, I think it's possible, I'm not 100% sure, that he went with a Ran Meiri version of this, of Osama Isaac Lupadova as being the Nesar Criterion, as being the criterion for Garmi, and therefore said Nisantim is not even Garmi, it's just Grama. Yeah?
I don't know if this is necessarily relevant, but and I guess the next Ogre by Kofsa, so Tosa Spring.
By what?
The next Sugya by Kofso and
Being Kofes.
Yeah.
Okay.
So Tosos uses the language of he equates the Shemesh to Eshel. You'd be chayev by the Shemesh,
right,
because of Eshel Mishum, if you held the Eshel Mishum Chetzov.
Chetzov. Yeah. So it's a little bit more complicated than that in terms of. Let's put that aside for now, because
there are a few other things.
Mitzamtzim is not the case. He there is talking about a case where you would be putter Mishum Mitzamtzim, because it doesn't fit the parameters of Mitzamtzim. He's saying maybe you could be Chayev from a different angle, which is Mishum Eshem Mishum Chitzav.
Yeah, no.
So that's why, you know, he's talking about a case where, which is part of the next topic, which we'll get to, which is actually putter Midin Mitzamtzim. The Chiv Mitzamtzim is only in the case of Chama, where the Chama is near now. But let's say Socham Lavo, again, this is going to be our next topic. Socham Lavo, you're actually, there's no Chiv. So the Tosas is saying, what about Eshem Mishum Chitzav? Why should you be Chayev, even if there's no Chiv Mishum Tzamtzim? There should be a Chiv Mishum Eshem Mishum Chitzav based on certain parameters. So it's not really that...
It's not the same, but it's just... Tosis brings up that he has the sun as being something that is mice-oriented from the person.
You're assuming that Eshem Mishum Chitzav is mice-oriented from the person.
So.
What's the definition of Esh? Eshem Mishum Chitzav is, in the Gemara, brought down in the context of the Zikin. What is the defining characteristic of the Av HaMazik, of the Ava Mazik of Esh, all the different what's the defining characteristic, right? So Karen is either Orche, is either Orche comes Lahazik, Shane is Hana Lazeko, Esh is Koch Acher Murubo.
Ah, okay.
So all the Toledos have that characteristic involved, like Avnas Akino Masav Rosh Kargo. So Koch Acher Murubo. So the question that'll become this is a topic we're going to get to next up, really. Which is what are the characteristics of how do we understand Eish, whether or not it's Chayav for Ritzicha? Part of the issue is going to be, in the end, what is this, you know, is that a person's really, I mean, the Tosas, yes, do assume that you are Chayav for Ritzicha, but the Ran, what we'll see here, thinks you're not, and that relates in part to some of the questions that we're discussing. The Ran seems to think that Eish and Shechita is a kind of Garmi, in which case it wouldn't be so relevant. But you're right, Tosas clearly doesn't, because Tosas thinks that it's a Chal Darkula, Eish and Shechita, it's a Klal.
But, I was saying, Tosas thinks that Eish HaMishum Chitzav is Garmi, and he's equating the Shemesh to it, then, like, that could be put a few things.
Yeah, I think we, I'll separate those two. Okay. But the idea of, I mean, the question is, here, maybe this involves a Koach Acher. Now, the truth is the Meiri, I think I put this on the Koros, Meiri in Nunvav has the most radical formulation. This I take it as being the same general direction as his idea of being Maisa Hamafsid as being, right? What is Gorim when it's the Gram is part of the Maisa Hamafsid, or it's a Maisa Hamafsid, as opposed to setting up other things to be Mazik. The most extreme formulation, it's almost hard to imagine me really, you know, saying it this way, although it's possible, it just has radical implications, is he says, in the last, last three lines, he actually says koch acher meurabo. He says, when he's saying here, what's the difference between these? After all, you know, you've seen, you know, harbein meforshim. This is the first line. Everybody's, you know, tripping over themselves trying to explain what the difference is between them. And I'll tell you what it is. He says acher pirshu. He's slightly different here than the shittas I mentioned. This is a little bit of an outlier in terms of he brings up kavana as being a factor. So this is the most radical formulation in the sense that here it sounds like even if you're taking part of the nezek, if you have somebody else who's, and we'll see, I think this is quite possibly going to be factor determining not what the Miri seems to be saying here, which is that Garmi versus Grumma, but rather Maisa Bedain versus Garmi, perhaps. But the mirror here is pretty clearly using the formulation to explain what's the difference between Garmi and Grumma, that if Yesh Misayeya Loso Nezek, that's Grumma Be'ama. Right? And therefore, you know, something like the Mishasa Kaba. I think, right, using that formulation, I think it's in the same general direction. Just if you take that, you know, to the extreme, you can end up saying some of the cases which don't sound, you know, sound like they should be considered. I mean, you would say Yesh Misayeya in that case. Well, we'll see. I think it is possible to sustain those things. But either way, so the Miri is, so then you say, okay, well, in this case, is there a Misayeya here? At the very least, even if you don't want to say that the Shemesh Belvad is Horeg, but at the very least, it seems like it is Misayeya, right? Kochacher Mu'urabo, in the Miri's formulation. So I really do think that in the simplest thing to say is that if I'm going with the Miri and the Ron's criterion of what is Osa, who Atma Osa Hezek, in terms of the defined characteristic of Garmi versus Grumma, then Mitzam Tzim isn't Garmi, it's Grumma. Also, let us read the Ra'ah quickly. I think the Ra'ah is going in this direction too, although he could be having something else in mind, but I think this is basically probably what he's going with. This is at the end here, he explains why it is that it's Grumma. He's talking about here, he thinks that you really are Pater in the context of Nezikin. So why? So lo klum ka'avid. You could take that to mean other things too, but I think the simplest thing to say is he means, you know, he's alluding to what Rashi is saying. Namely, you're not doing anything here. Meaning something else is doing the actual nezek. You're not doing an actual act of hezek here. You're simply tying. Tying doesn't cause damage. Tying doesn't damage somebody. It simply allows for something else in this context to cause damage. So that's Grumma Bahama. Now, Misvara, I don't think it's Mukhrach to say this. I think you could say, adopting the Yuri's Ron's understanding of what Garmi is, that it is Garmi. And first, we should realize that we have a need to say that, because who is one of the major believers in Mitzamsem being Garmi? And therefore, saying we have to pass him like Ravina in our Sugya.
Ron,
and not only Ron, but who else? I mean, Ron is Bari Azeka people, you know, as a Bari Azeka person, so that makes sense, but who else? The Meiri. Right? The Meiri says, he doesn't explain why. You know, the ones that had the simple explanation, the simple case to make, they explain it to you, right? You know, of course you're Chayiv, this is Garmi. But the Meiri, who, you know, you would have liked to have seen him explain why it's Garmi, he doesn't. But he's clear, though, he thinks, you know, this is again in the sources, 4, number 5 here. He says, below what Elish is explaining why he thinks we have to pass him like Garmi, as opposed to some of the Rishonim hold that we pass him like Garbana. Below what Elish is Zehudin the Garmi. Halacha Rabach has been Yan Mammon, the Dundin the Garmi. Below what Zuch Levar Din Zel, Das Misha'en, the Dundin the Garmi, Uvachule. So he doesn't tell you why. He just says it is. But on his own criterion, it's not obvious. But I think it is a, you know, a very viable approach. And I guess we'll pick up, because we'll stop now, right? I mean, I don't want to take too much. Since it was billed as an hour chabura, I don't want to be longer than that. So I guess we'll just pick up. This is sort of a funny place to stop in the middle of the Meiri explaining why. You know, we sort of said, okay, the simplest thing to say if you're holding the Meiri's criterion of Garmi is that Mitzamtzem is Grumma. End of chabura. There's another way to go.
And I can stew
but
on
we'll
it
stop there. What?
Now we can stew on it for the rest of the bit.
Or yeah, even if you're not stewing though, it's still just like kind of a funny place to start. So I guess we're in the middle of going through whether or not, according to Meiri's understanding, it sounds like it's Garmi or Grumma. But let's stop, right? I think it makes sense to stop here. What do you guys say? I don't want to take more time, right? I mean, especially since next time you guys won't come at all, you know, I was going on for an hour or whatever. Right? We'll stop, yeah?
Yeah,
sounds good.
Okay. So, okay.
Should we
what?
Are we continuing?